You know, one of the things that the web did for small businesses is it gave them an even playing field. And I'd love to have AI do that for small businesses as well. I don't know how that works out, and I can't obviously predict the future, but like, that's what I would love for it to do.
Welcome to the AI Advantage, where modern leaders decode the future of tech. I'm Solomon Williams, founder of Solonox. So here, it's no noise, no hype every week. Sometimes it's just me, and sometimes it's the brightest minds in tech, breaking down what it really takes to grow smarter with AI and automation. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Solomon Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in. We have a special guest. We have Jesse McCabe. He's the co-founder and CEO of Solid Digital. So Jesse, thanks so much for coming on to the show. Love to have you. Can just introduce yourself to the audience. Let us know who you are.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk to you. Who am I? Whoa, that's a tough question. I found my passion in technology at an early age. So around, 8 years old, which, back then was pretty young. Now everybody's got tech by the time they're two, but like we actually had a computer and we were one of the first families just because my dad like did electronics repair. And I just really fell in love with like being able to program and make computers do things. Like that was like the initial thing. I used to get like these Mad Magazine used to have like these like printouts on the back that you could just like type in a program and it would do something. It could like play a game or draw something on your screen. And like, that's like kind of like where I got started. And so I knew like at an early age that I wanted to be in tech. And, I went to school for it. I kind of like found that I didn't fit in with the rest of the computer science engineers that were at my school at the time, even though like the web was blowing up at that point. And, I really like looked at, like after I got out of college, I kind of like bounced around. I worked at a hosting company. I worked at a startup company, but then it wasn't until I started working at agencies that I really fell in love with the whole idea of like, how does marketing and creative and tech all mix together to, improve brands, like improve organizations, like whether it's, actual transactions in e-commerce or if it's just like representing the brand the right way or, doing little things. So, and at some point along the way, I decided I thought I could do it just as well as anybody else. And we're in our 19th year now at Solid Digital. And I still love what I do. It's awesome.
That's so great, man. It's really having it to where, having the love for it. So just to have our audience to know. So Solid Digital, like what is, I know you, help with web design, but tell us a little bit more, like what you do, like what you, focus in on and help.
Yeah. So it is a web design agency for all intents and purposes. But, I do think like with both me and my co-founders, like tech background, we have this built into our DNA of like, how do we leverage marketing tech stacks or other tools. I mean, like AI has been a great thing for us. We just like are, excited about how we can incorporate it. We're not scared of it. The differentiator for me is like, we kind of run it in a way where it's both engineering and creative versus just kind of like creative and move on. But then beyond that too, is like, I kind of take a scientific approach to marketing. And so for me, the way that we engage with our team, with our marketing teams after we build their website is kind of like more of like scientific. Like we test things out, we see how they work. If they don't work, we kind of like throw them out. If they do work, we, keep doing it. And it allows us to be agile and it allows us to leverage new ways of doing things because literally every week there's new stuff coming out.
So I like where you had it to where you look at marketing on a more on a scientific basis. So did you always have that piece of when you kind of came in, when you when you and your co-founder said, this is what we want to provide to our clients and business? Is that something you just knew off the top from just your previous experience, or did you kind of grow into that and learn all that? I'm curious on that.
I think it's a bit of a human flaw that I have where I don't necessarily want to do what everybody else is doing. And I don't think that's always a good thing. Like sometimes it's just like, hey, this is a proven model that works. Just do it. And sometimes I wish I would apply that more. And because what happens is like, I'll be like, oh, well, I could do this different. It's going to be completely unique and nobody else is going to ever have seen this before. And then I realize, nope, that's hard. And it's not working. And now we need to like pull back. And then we end up being and conforming a little bit more to like what the norm is when it comes to the things that we do. So I would say, but at the same time, like that's my default. My default is like, well, what could we do different? What would be unique? And then like, as I'm getting older, I'm trying to like pull myself back from being too, too unique and too different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, as you said, I think that it's like, again, it seems like to your strength of it because of you thinking more outside the box that on that abstract side of it, and you're able to really take in like what is, from what I'm understanding, is really, you really take in and really notice like what are the key pieces, what's the vision of what your clients are, and you're able to communicate that into their website and so forth, else if I'm tracking, right?
Or, okay. Yeah, like what kind of content they're creating, what kind of tools they're leveraging, like if there's interactive things that we can build on the site that are going to make people stick around longer, that type of stuff. Like, you know, I think there's been a lot that's changed in my career. When I first started, you know, websites were, you know, a special thing. Like not every brand had them. And the ones that did could spend a lot of money, and they were spending a ton of money. I remember the first like $1 million website that I was working on for Sony, like, they were highly, highly interactive. So you never really got like these kind of like brochure websites that we see all the time now for brands, where it was like there was a lot of interactivity on it. And I think we've veered really far away from that. You know, I mean, I think like we've gotten to the point, and my hope, my optimistic kind of outlook for the future is that we actually get back to having more interactivity on our websites, and we do more things there that, maybe help people or help our users and potential customers to find what they're looking for without just, you know, throwing up content and letting it go. And I think like that's going to be a differentiator for brands.
Yeah. Yeah. And with that, with the differentiator, what you're kind of seeing in the market, like how, I know you've talked about with AI being a big piece, like how does that now, just because now with you know, search engine optimizations and everything, now they utilize the AI for the summaries and keeping that in. So tell me a little bit about like for folks and for other founders and people that are listening on the call, like what they should kind of take in to be aware of. What advice can you give of like when they're going forward on websites, what they need to be thinking more for now because of AI is now being implemented?
Well, it's crazy because like what we're seeing, it's like, there's two different things happening at the same time. One is that AI still cares a lot about relevant content, which is something that we've been preaching for a long time, right? Just, you know, since Google got smart enough to like, you know, filter out the people who are doing like tricks and trying to like, you know, gamify, or use the wrong word, but like, you know, that all the SEO things that we used to do on our sites, like those don't necessarily work anymore. Like Google doesn't even look at meta descriptions. So like, all of those things are still important because AI cares about the content that's on your site. But then it's not sending the users to your site anymore. So Google, they used to like say, oh, here's a good place to go to find that content. Now AI is like, here's the content. I might give you a reference, but I'm not even going to tell you to like go there. It's just like, this is what they're saying. And so at the same time of like that abstraction of our content on our site, we still need a way to engage users when they visit our site. So like what I'm telling my clients is like, you still got to create the content, but you got to like also start to assume that maybe that content isn't really going to drive users to your site as much. Maybe they're down the funnel more. Maybe they've already decided that you're one of the top five potential, you know, vendors that they're going to buy, right? Yeah. So now, like, let's think about, like, all right, well, if they're already at that point, I don't have to woo them anymore. Like, let's just get into, like, what's your problem and how do we help you solve it? And, like, how can I prove that to you in this engagement? I don't know. I think it's a cool challenge, and it's, like, going to break the kind of, like, monotonous content that we're seeing on all the websites. And I don't know. I think it's a good position for us to be in. Like, we're strong with engineering. We're, you know, utilizing AI as much as possible. And we still care a lot about how the brand is presented and the content that's created. So, yeah.
Yeah. And so with that on the side, do you see that, like, in the next coming years, that's going to be a focal point? Do you see that it's going to more an and? So I'm curious on, as you've seen with clients and as you continue to, like, play around your engineering team on, you know, trying these new tools out as AI is advancing, what do you think you'll see in the market specifically with the website design?
I think you're going to see more brands putting stuff right up in front. Like, I saw, like, another agency that's, like, focused on, like, restaurants, where they were just like, tell us your zip code of your restaurant and we'll tell you how much more money we're going to make for you this year. And then it was, like, kind of like a wizard calculator to get to that point. And that's their homepage. Like, and they do have some tech, but it's mostly just a service-based organization. So if we like go to where, you know, you know, the typical kind of, like, e-commerce cart or wizard kind of, like, interactive elements that are on a website and start to think, like, well, even if I have a service-based business, maybe I need to, like, kind of create a more transactional experience on my site. Like, I think that's where it's going to go personally.
Yeah. You know, with that, as it's going forward well, like, what have you seen that's really been really working well with Solid Digital now that it's been adding in that you're seeing on this side? Like, what's really been working with you guys?
I mean, I think simplicity has been working. Again, like, going back to, like, where AI is already kind of giving the user a little bit more, or not AI, I shouldn't say AI, like, the search engines are giving you more of the content that is on your site before you get there. So I think, like, keeping things simple is really important. You know, like, I've been saying this forever. Like, I hate how much garbage nav we put on our sites. And, like, this is to where, you know, it's like the struggle we have with some of our clients is just, like, they want to put everything out there. And if you think about it as, like, a menu, right? Like, if you go to a deli that has, like, a huge menu, like, got, like, 100 different things on it, it's so hard to make a decision on where to go next. But if you have a menu where it's only a few different items, like In-N-Out Burger menu, like, you only have a few options and you can make those options quickly. So I think that is really important. But again, I wouldn't say that our clients are necessarily adopting this right now, but, like, I am pushing for more interactive technology built into our brand sites.
Yeah. And I think, like, you made a good point on it, because you get so lost. I kind of think it back to, you know, I'm a millennial, like, of coming back, but like, now with Netflix and with Hulu, there's just so much so much to choose from. I don't even know. And I appreciate, sometimes I go back, like, on Spectrum or go to Live TV, where I can just look and I can just find a TV show. Like, for example, like, there was the Fast and Furious, like, the first one. I wouldn't even know on Netflix to choose one. But now that it's available, it's a short amount. I'd be like, oh, let me check that out. So I think from your point on, it's giving, there's so much you want to kind of bring it down to a menu for that. And so, why do you think that's the case of clients? I can imagine because they want to make sure they insinuate everything to their guests, to their consumers, of what they do. So how do you move through, just from your experience, Jesse, on, like, letting them know, like, hey, you know, let's just keep it down to the services. Like, how do you educate them on that to help them, like, this is more for you?
Well, I mean, I use that analogy of the menu all the time to try to, like, get them to kind of understand what's going on. But, you know, I think savvy marketers, and most of our brand, like, marketing teams, like, they're pretty savvy. They know it. It's more of just, like, the other stakeholders in the company, CEO and those guys, like, they don't want their visitors to miss anything. It's like this like lowest common denominator approach to like the content on your site. It's like, no, we have to have history because they care about our history. Well, no, you care about the history. They care about their problems. Like if we can like frame like what we're trying to, what is in the head of the visitor and think about like, yeah, they're here because they have a problem and they're trying to solve it. And the way that you get their business is by giving them the insight to show that you know and understand what is going on in their head and that you actually have a solution for it. And it's a simple solution. Here it is, right? Like, I won't say that the about and leadership isn't an important thing at some point, but it's not. It's, to me, it's not a top level nav like thing that needs to be there. I'm kind of like saying that, but like, you know,
no, I understand.
About us is on our website, like at the top, but it's a little bit different for our industry because, you know, it is about the people that are going to be working on your site. But like, if you're a product widget seller kind of company, I don't know how that plays a part into it. So again, if you're like trying to like scrunch your menu and keep it concise, think about like, you know, the value of the things that you're putting up there. And like, we're creating our own technology right now that kind of like goes along with this. Like, I think that navigation needs to be more dynamic. And so we've built this like plugin that like kind of helps guide people to the right places on the website. You know, ultimately, I think like being able to like see who they are and try to get them to the right place is the challenge that we all have. And in some cases, it's like, yeah, I'm just going to give them everything and have them make the choice. But I think there's a smarter way of doing that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up, because I know we spoke a little bit beforehand on the plugin. Can you kind of going into the nitty gritty, but like what is your hope like for the plugin? Like, what do you like? What did you see there was a gap into it and where you're hoping this plugin that your team is working on that will fulfill?
Well, I hope it's not too unique and different than everything else, because I do think when you whittle it down to what the core is basically just analyzing the paths that people take on your website and comparing them to users that are coming on. So if a user visits like these three pages, we can look at all the other, you know, user journeys that came on the site and choose the ones that went to the places we want them to go, and then make recommendations based on that. So it helps the user, because like you could say, like, if a user is coming and reading this blog post about this problem, you can make some assumptions that they're trying to go here next, right? So at the core, it's very simple. Where it goes from there is, you know, kind of like from my perspective, up to the users and the people who install it. It's called Path.
Right.
So it's all about like helping guide users, but then also giving marketers on the back end more insights into what's working and what's not working. And so then they can look at the analytics and start to see, like, you know, every time somebody goes to this page, they just drop off. It's not maybe something you really want to be recommending to people. You definitely don't want it in your top nav.
Right. So with that and utilizing, Jesse, I'm like, here's now that this, your team's building out and, you know, with the success from the new plugin, like, what would you like to see like ahead in the next 6 to 12 months for Solid Digital to be like, what's your vision and your goals?
You know what? Okay. So I just want to leverage AI more. I know everybody's saying that, but the truth is like, we can build like this PathPilot plugin that I created. Like, I did most of the work in a weekend, you know what I mean? Like, AI helps us get stuff to market faster. So the more that we can just churn that out and make those, and like, I think that gives us the ability to offer more interactive elements to our clients on our site. And like, that's where I'd like to go. I'd like to be doing more of that. I still, like I said, still care a lot about the brand, still want the design to be, you know, clean and user-friendly. But I think there's other things that we can now do that we weren't able to do 3 years ago, unless it would cost like $100,000 for them to do it. And now we could do things in like a matter of weeks and try it out. If it doesn't work, trash it. If it does work, let's see what we can do, you know, to build it out.
And I'm having it to where it was on the side with having to continuously build out for your team and so forth. As I know, we've talked a little bit about. I'm curious that as for the goals that you're trying to hit and for in the next 6 to 12 that you said in a weekend, like within, that's the whole purpose of like what AI is that I'm realizing, you know, there's a lot of hype, there's a lot of, you know, fluff that goes along, but it really, I think the market is really understanding is like, where is the actual, you know, tangible outcomes. And as you said, it's making your team a lot easier and so forth. So with that, like, you know, with your team of going through, is it, how has that played a part? Because I know we spoke a little bit of kind of it shifted more on and now you really have a good lean team of how it's really effective and so forth. And that implementation of AI, like, really pushed it forward? Has it been more on the culture and how your leadership has really inspired the team? I'm real curious on that. How do you win that? Does that make sense?
I mean, you could do a lot more with less people now, right? Right. I think that's the bottom line. And like, I get really scared for my friends who own agencies with a ton of people, because I know a lot of those people aren't probably that necessary now that AI is around, right? You know, my job is mainly sales, and I've had people on our team that were helping me with just like compiling notes and making sure that like we were capturing the scope correctly to put it to the proposal. And like all of that now is covered by AI. And so like, you know, at one point we were a 33 person agency, and I thought I was going to love it. My goal was always to have this big company. I worked for big agencies. I always liked being part of big teams, the culture there. But I hated running a 33-person agency. There's a lot of personal management that was going on, which isn't a bad thing. It's just like, it's, you know, like it's a 32 different people and me. Like that's, it's a lot to deal with.
Right.
Our margins were not great, because we're just like taking whatever we could take at that point just to kind of cover our costs. And so, you know, over time we've gotten smaller and smaller. We're back down to like 9 people now, but it's like a core, like trusted group on our team. And they're all excited and passionate about leveraging AI. And so I think we're able to do more now with 9 people than we did with 33 people. Plus we get to be choosy about who we work with and what projects we're going to take on and make sure that it's things that we're really good at. And I guess it just makes you feel happier about what you're doing. And then it also allows you to think more about like a smaller group of, you know, highly engaged clients versus, you know, well, we got to do these 5 projects over here just because we have to pay the bills.
Right. So with that on, I know we kind of like top it in and, you know, how do you let it like on the side? Cause I know we've discussed it beforehand of, you know, taking the projects where you have to, you know, essentially pay the bills, but to the ones that you're really excited about, that you're really going forward. So it has that been like a, now the use of AI and so forth else, are you able to like wanting to take on those passion projects, or is it now just it's flowing in more easily, or just I'm curious on how that goes in?
I don't think any agency owner would disagree with me where it's like the best clients are the ones that want to brainstorm with you and, you know, like come to the table with like their own ideas, but then also listen to your ideas. And it feels like we're all, you know, part of the same team, which is, you know, what everybody says, but that's ultimately what jazzes us. Like, cause if we can get into the room and we're like, what if we did this and everybody's excited about it? Like, that's awesome. When it's a situation where the customer comes in and says, hey, I need you to do this. And it's got to be exactly like this. In fact, I have this spreadsheet and I want you to just take exactly what's in the spreadsheet and put it on your website. That kind of like kills the vibe, you know? So like, I think it's not necessarily it's picking and choosing the right people. And then those people, like I'm saying clients, like those clients really listening to like what we're saying and us listening to them and coming up with really cool ideas to work on. And that's like, yeah, it's the best.
Yeah. And I think that is on the setup for it. So if we looked at your, how I call it, maybe a training montage of like the behind the scenes grind, like just you, just of your unique approach to marketing, how your unique approach to just solid digital as a whole, you know, what did that look like? What is that? How do you kind of keep up what on that side of keeping ahead of like how you move forward, as you said, like you in this vision that you wanted to really produce, like Solid Digital is a great agency, but really thinking as yourself as the leader and like having it, like what is that training montage of yours looking like behind the scenes grind? Does that make sense?
I think, yeah, I mean, like if I reworded it, it's kind of like as the leader, how do you give yourself the space to think about things and push things forward, which I think is a real struggle, especially early on. You are just hustling and you don't have time to like think about where this can go. And so like one of the things, you know, you'll learn as you get older, you add a little more patience to it. You say no more. You give yourself a little bit more thinking space to come back and, hey, I got this idea. If I had 60 clients that I was managing on a daily basis, like across our agency, how could I really give my brain power to all of them in a way that was meaningful? Right? Like that's just not going to happen. But if I have like four clients that I understand their business really well, that I've got a personal relationship with them, I understand what problems they're trying to solve, but also understand what problems their customers are trying to solve, then I can spend some time thinking about it. And every once in a while, it's like, hey, you know what? Like maybe we could use this for X client. Like this seems to fit really well for them. And I think like the big agency model, that's a hard thing to accomplish. And, you know, if you're able to produce work at a bigger scale with less people, that seems like the right thing to do.
Without a doubt. And I think that, without a doubt, man, I think on, and I love that on your side is really, and I'm really in that now is, especially as you said, as a founder myself, like it's just going hard. It's just grinding and it's, you know, day in, day out.
You're in the early stages.
Right. And it happens to like, as you mentioned it to before, previously, it's like, what are we doing as it goes back to your clients on putting the about us, obviously within context, within the nuance, but, oh, we need to put the about us and they need to all know our history. And I kind of revert back. I was thinking back to how a founder, kind of a leader, as you're going through this entrepreneurial journey, you're building something from scratch. There's so many things that you have to get, you think you have to do that, but really, is it really moving the needle? Like, so, you know, for example, for marketing and so forth else, I need to do the branding, I need to do this, but you know, the key says like, is my campaign, did I run the campaign? Am I getting more leads? Like, is that's something that is a needle moving forward? And that's something even as a founder myself is I have to constantly, there's so much getting on and I have to pick just three, like keep in mind, what are the main three things can be that, as you said, agile, like a sprint or something, what's moving forward, you know?
What are your three things?
Cool. It is for me, really, it's building out, refining, you know, the vision for the soul on our side. Of course, you know, we have the client acquisition, you have the leads and so forth. But the main Zoom, I'm really feeling, man, I'm glad you asked, like, it's the vision really putting forward what, you know, taking away like of the selling, what am I, can I do that's providing a service to the clients that I have now and then moving forward genuinely? Like, where is it? And really, and I love that you had said, is taking the time to really look at their business and not thinking of it as a vendor of a service, but as like that partner. And I think that's where you've said that you taking the time, the brainstorm. And I like your unique approach, man, because it really takes a more personal look. And it makes them feel that. So that's part of, that's one on the vision that I'm trying to do. Of course, it's the client acquisition and really as this podcast and everything is on that side.
Yeah.
That's what pays the bills. You need to have it.
Gotta do
on
it.
On the side. But I love that, like, those are like the main three things, the vision, client acquisition, and then it's constant on the leads on the marketing
side.
Getting, aside. Yeah. So would you say like for yours, on the big 3-4 solid digital, like what would you say yours is, man? Like the big three needles on your side?
Well, I think, and like, I there's no skipping the steps in my opinion. So like, you got to do what you have to do. Like to get a business off the ground and make it 5 years is incredible accomplishment. And like, there's no shortcuts to just hustling and getting what you need to get done. And so I don't look back on like my first 5 years and I'm like, oh, I made so many mistakes and I wish I had like given myself more time to think about like the things I was doing and where I was headed. Like, no, like I just had to like, we had to get the work done. Like for me, for the first 5 years, we didn't really do much marketing. We were just a referral and, you know, built up a reputation within a circle. And we found a lot of opportunities just from, you know, getting the work done and doing it well and just producing quality work. So, but then at a certain point, that kind of dried up and we had to get back to like marketing ourselves. And then it was like a shift to, all right, how do we do marketing? And like, then we got figured that out. And now it's like, well, now we're getting all these leads, but we're not winning them. Like, how do we do sales? So then we had to figure that out. And it was like just this brute force of like getting to a point where all the different things that needed to supply our business, like the nutrients of our business, got to a point where, okay, now we can be choosy and we can kind of think about things more. And so I think like, yeah, what you're doing is great. I mean, like, you know, we have our values. One of our values is just honest guidance. And like, I just think like from a human level, whenever I'm talking to somebody new who's got a problem and they're telling me what their problem is, instead of thinking like, how am I going to solve that problem? Think about, am I the right person to solve that problem? And start from that. Like, because if you can say, probably not, and tell them why you're going to not necessarily be the right fit, boy, that like immediately gets a bunch of trust from them. And a lot of times, like from my experience, when I tell a client, like, I'm not sure we're the right fit, I think we could do it, but we've never done it before. And the only relevant experience I have is this. A lot of times they're like, I'm willing to try it with you. Like, versus someone who comes in just confident, oh yeah, we've done it a million times, like no problem, just sign the contract, you know? Because then like I have to search and find out and clarify and get details on like what it is that we need to learn to do the job. And like if I can prove to a client that I can do that and I can do it effectively, then they're going to be the longtime client with me. And every time that they come with a new thing and they say, hey, I don't know if you've done this before or not, but you didn't do the last project before and you knocked it out of the park. You're a trusted partner. But if you come in really super confident, I can kill this, and then you don't deliver, you're screwed.
Yeah. The key thing is, and I heard one of my mentors say this, you know, as I go through and I find it true, like business travels at the speed of trust. So it goes through on no matter what about it is. So even if you make a mistake during, which as you said, it happens, it's part of the game, what it is, even with client, when you're doing working with clients, you're going to make a mistake. But I think it's, again, it goes about how you approach. So I love of what you said is, I may not be the right fit, or we've made a mistake, but here's the problem. I'm being proactive and letting you know, and then I'm providing a solution. This is what we're working on. This is what it is. And so even, because even when I've started, when I made mistakes, I'm like on my side with clients, it's making, you know, you're kind of nervous and everything else, but it's bringing it forward, being upfront, being honest, be like, hey, we made this mistake, but this is what we're doing to go around. And I think, as you said, it builds not only trust on that, but shows that, hey, this is an active partner that's being involved. This is what we're doing. And, you know, I love that. Like, and that's what I'm really growing and understanding about.
Like, just try this one time. Like with the new client, just tell them no. Like, but it's got to be honest, true no. Like, I don't think I'm the right fit for you. I'm sorry. Or I'm sorry at this time, we can't take you on. You know, we're not too busy, but like, find a reason that you're not the right fit and see what the reaction is. I could tell you when I legitimately have had to tell people no, I've gotten crazy responses back where like, they'll be like, is it a money thing? Cause I can try to get more money. I can try to get more budget. Is it a time thing? If we need to extend our deadline, we can extend our deadline. It's like, it's kind of like the girl who says no to you. It's like, it goes in your brain. You're like, no. Like, what do you mean? No, like, no, you're supposed to love me. Yeah. And then you get like, they get obsessed about it. Like, I don't think you can, it's not a manipulation thing. I don't want it to seem like it's a manipulation thing, but I can tell you when I've honestly told people I can't take you on as a client, boy, it changes. Like, they're like, what do you mean? Everybody else really wants me.
So I'm curious on, man, like for that, because I think it's to the point. It's so a 180 of what you would think on it from. It's because you always wanted to think on, you know, getting
the reverse psychology. Yeah.
Right. It's reverse psychology on it. So I'm curious, man, when you went through that first time and having it to where you went through, you went and you're listening to clients and you're like, I'm curious on like, I'm sure you remember it. Like what went through and like, I know you had to take some time. Let me like walk me through like that process, that time. And you're like, when what happened?
I don't know if it's the first time, but I do remember this startup and they just didn't have the budget for us. And I said, I'm sorry, just like for what you're asking us to do, I can't do it. I can't take it on. I love the idea, but like, it's just not, it's too risky for us. Boy, they were like, throwing equity at me. Like they were like, like every 3 months he would just call me out of the blue. He'd be like, hey, you know, we're really struggling still with these like developers and designers that we have. Like, we really like to get you guys in here. You know, like it became this like ongoing kind of like, I don't know, humorous thing where it was just like, they couldn't get us out of their head. Like they were like going to work with us at some point. Like their goal, part of their goal of like success was to be able to work with us, which was like, all, you know, like that's flattering. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is. That's amazing, man. So with that, like, what would you say for like solid agent for yourself, Jesse? Like what, if you could solve like one major challenge in the agency world today, like what would it be?
I mean, like, yeah, there's a lot of challenges. I think, you know, the AI thing is complicated. I think that it's got people questioning what the future is. So, you know, like, I don't know if this is really a direct answer to your question, but I'm going to tell you what's like bothering me right now, because the market sucks right now. Like, I think starting this year, people thought like, well, you know, could I bring this in-house? Like, could I do this work with AI? Like, how much is AI going to help our business? And I think like that, you know, a lot of CFOs and CMOs like put pauses on stuff that they were going to do with agencies, which I get. And I also see the threat of like, you know, any person who's in front of a computer, like AI could take their job in the next 5 to 10 years, of course. But there's a thing about being, I mean, not to get too lofty, but like being human, like AI doesn't come up with its own projects and plans and ideas and things to do. And, you know, I think that those of us who are adaptable to technology and want to like use new tech to help produce more, like we understand how this is going to be used. And not only that, we can keep the quality and control of like how it's used in a better way. And so like what I would, it's not agencies that need, well, I mean, agencies need to adopt AI, but every single agency is like, if they aren't, they're idiots. But clients need to understand that their agency is probably doing stuff behind the scenes that they're not necessarily aware of, that maybe they just need to ask. Maybe we just need to tell them like more. I don't know. But there's that attitude of like, oh, you know, maybe we don't need an agency, that I think is misguided. And so that changes. I, you know, for the most part, like I said, like we're not at risk. We've got good clients that have worked with us for a long time, but like, I definitely don't see as many new leads coming in as I used to. And I think like a part of it's also people just not wanting to risk change while things are a little bit up in the air. So
it is.
So stable. We need stability.
I think that's the key word of it, is just the stability with everything going on in the world.
Yeah. Market. Yeah. Tech, everything. Stability. Yeah. That's what we need.
Yeah. I think it is going to go off of, as you said, it's just the AI part of it. It was 2 nights ago. I was using AI, you know, just to help with the business. And I was staying up till 3 a.m. because I was having to constantly work with it. And you have to put in prompts. It's like, that might not be right. So you got to, it's a back and forth. That takes time. It's not an immediate, like, you know, to it. So yes, it helps with the assistant and everything else and going forward. But I believe, and I'm 100% agreeing with you, that AI, like, this is not the killer of jobs. It's not the killer. It's something to help you benefit your team to make things more effective, instead of like transcribing for meetings, you know, helping it to like be able to do these admin tasks so your team can be able to maybe brainstem more and, you know, think on more. So 100% so on it, man.
It's just a better encyclopedia, right? Like, we used to have encyclopedias, like that was our knowledge base. And then I remember when encyclopedia salespeople used to come around to our doors, like then like the internet blew up and we have all of this information at our fingertips, but it still took time to find that information. Now we're just able to get that information faster, and we're able to like have that information be actionable, which is crazy. I mean, AI is just like the most insane, awesome tech that I've ever used. Like, it is the coolest. But that's not to say that it can just come in and take over everything. But it's going to make our lives better, I think. And I think it's going to make us be able to do more stuff. So you better get familiar with it. I think that's the bottom line. And then it'll all balance out. That we'll get that stability of like how this all interacts with each other, just like we did with everything else. What did the encyclopedia salespeople do when the internet came around? They had to find something else.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that point of kind of figuring out. I never even thought of it as a encyclopedia, but that's a really good analogy for that, you know, on that side. So with that, to wrap up, like, what would you say now with the whole AI, like if you had magic wand like Jesse and having it to, whether it's the business side, whether, you know, for Solid Digital or just for yourself, if it was ChatGPT 8-9, like, what would you love for it to do to like make your job or to make the business better? What would you think?
I mean, you know, it's weird because I have built this business around websites, but I also kind of like see this future where unnecessarily websites aren't going to exist like they do now.
Yeah.
I think, like, you know, it should be about solving problems and connecting people to, you know, where they need to go. And so if there's more ability for us to leverage AI, like if I could go into ChatGPT and say, okay, here's my problem. I know that I can't solve it. I got to hire somebody. Let's figure this out. And then it's like talking to a brand's, you know, ChatGPT version or whatever, and kind of like laying out, like, here's the things that I'm looking for. What do you got? What don't you have? And they're honest with each other. So it's like it could come back and be like, okay, well, I'm talking to this ChatGPT over here and it's saying this. I think it might be worth looking into. And then versus, you know, going to a website or even like looking at a billboard or whatever, where it's like, well, this is obviously trying to sell me something. I need just an honest solution to the problem that I'm trying to solve. And then maybe like that can allow us to distribute where work goes more evenly than all, you know, everything's at Google, everything's at Microsoft. Like, we have to, like, I don't know, there's so many smart people out in the world. Like, we all have like cool ideas. Like, the more that we can create those ideas and it helps our lives, like globally, like, that's awesome. So, you know, one of the things that the web did for small businesses is it gave them an even playing field. And I'd love to have AI do do that for small businesses as well. I don't know how that works out, and I can't obviously predict the future, but like, that's what I would love for it to do.
Yeah,
if I had that magic wand.
Right. I know. I love that, because this is, it's again, it's to keep it to where not the the big businesses, like where you want, that's what makes it more effective. As you said, that in, that independence, there's so many smart and creative people, and sometimes they just don't know the how, or they don't know what they don't know. So hopefully the AI part can help them to figure out, to help them build, be that assistant, be that partner to help them grow. So I love that side, man. You know, kind of honest, I appreciate, like, Jesse, you coming on. This is a great conversation, and just really just your unique approach, you know, just not even to the marketing, but the solid digital, how you go forward, and just your insights into it, man. So
Solomon,
thanks for coming on the show. Well,
it's fun. Like,
thanks. So for the audience, if they wanted to learn more about Solid Digital, like of some of the projects that you guys have done, or just for yourself, if they wanted to kind of follow your story, where can they find you at?
Yeah, I mean, soliddigital.com. I'm on LinkedIn too. I'm not the best with social media, but like, Jesse at soliddigital.com. Email me. I'm always happy to chat with people. These kind of conversations are what make it so much more enjoyable, like,
yeah,
being in the position I'm in.
For sure.
I mean, like, not that I'm in like this lofty position or anything, but it's just like, you know, like, I like talking shop. Like, one of the reasons why I love like being a business owner and being around other business owners is like, you know, we used to go to like parties in the neighborhood, and like the dads would all just talk about like their kids' sports teams and stuff.
Yeah.
And I hated it. Just like, I don't have anything to add to this. So I love talking shop. If you're just starting a business, if you've been doing business for a long time, like, I'm always up for an awesome conversation.
Oh man. And then I loved it too, because even it doesn't matter, I think that's what you said just on, it doesn't matter like what industry specifically in, you know, the whole goal is, you know, how are we providing value? Of course, you know, the business is all about, you know, are we, you know, scaling, are we growing, but like, how we provide value, what are our stories and what we've learned? And we're all on the same thing. It's just different roads to the journey, you know? So I love that, man.
I have so much in common with, you know, all different types of business owners than I do, like, you know, non-business owners. It doesn't matter what industry you're in or what you're doing. Like, there's a lot to talk about. Cool.
You know, thanks for coming on. So for the audience, if you tuned in to the whole time, thanks so much for tuning in. Just giving through. So we'll have it there to learn more about Solid Digital. We'll catch you next time on the next episode of the AI Advantage. So take care, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Solomon.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Advantage. If this episode sparked an idea, share it with your network. Subscribe for more no fluff conversations on how smart tech drives real outcomes. And if you're ready to future-proof your business, let's connect at solonox.net.